Hello and welcome to ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we look at a new ArcSieve paper every day and try to keep up with the ridiculous speed of AI innovation, but in a way that stays practical. Today we're digging into a paper titled A Practical Guide for Designing, Developing, and Deploying Production-Grade Agentic AI Workflows. We're talking about it now because everyone's building agents, but most teams are stuck at the demo stage and need real guidance to make them reliable, observable, and cost-aware in production. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage. Jamie will look at the AI and technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, teams can get a prototype agent working in a day, but it collapses the moment you add real data, real users, or SLAs. The pain points are consistent: brittle tool calls, no versioning for prompts or policies, unclear permissions for external APIs, no audit trail when the agent makes a bad call, and costs spiking because retries and long contexts aren't tracked. Product engineers want a predictable way to ship features with agents. ML Infra wants observability, guardrails, and rollback. Data teams want repeatable pipelines and evaluation. Support operations and sales ops benefit fastest. Anywhere you have workflows with tickets, retrieval, and actions that need to be safe and explainable.
So basically, people can build a cool demo, but the moment you plug it into your stack, it's fragile. What they need is a recipe: how to structure the agent, wire tools safely, monitor it, and ship versions without surprises. Jamie, from the AI side, why is this kind of approach showing up now?
Two things converged: model capabilities and complexity. Models now have longer context windows, function calling, and better structured output, which makes agents genuinely useful. At the same time, real deployments force you to juggle multiple tools: retrieval, retries, memory, and evaluation, and that complexity explodes without patterns. That's why a practical guide matters now. It standardizes orchestration, tool contracts, guardrails, and monitoring, so teams can move from ad hoc notebooks to production workflows that are testable, cost-aware, and maintainable. At a technical level, the paper proposes a set of production patterns for agentic workflows. Think layers: an orchestration layer that manages planning and step execution, a tool layer with well-defined schemas and permissions, prompt and policy versioning, and an observability layer with structured step logs, traces, and eval hooks. It positions agents as workflows you can test and deploy, not just chatbots. Compared to prior ad hoc examples, it formalizes contracts. Every tool has a JSON schema, retries have budgets and back off, actions are idempotent when possible, and there's a feedback loop: offline eval plus online metrics to keep quality and cost in check.
So, put simply, don't build a magic intern, build a workflow with steps you can see, test, and roll back. Tools aren't just random APIs, they're declared with rules and logs. Mark, if a team adopts this guide, what changes day to day?
The onboarding becomes predictable. Devs stop pasting prompts into a notebook and start checking in a prompt file with a version tag, a tool manifest, and a test set. Guardrails shift left. You define what the agent is allowed to do before it runs. During development, you run a local harness that replays scenarios: bad inputs, flaky APIs, missing context, and you see token cost and latency per step. In code review, you diff prompt versions like any config. In prod, support folks get an audit trail: the agent called tool X with these parameters, got this result, chose not to escalate. That's the behavioral change.
Let's make it concrete. If we applied it in a real team, Mark, what would it look like?
Use case 1, a simple support triage agent. Inputs are a user ticket, knowledge base articles, and the Zendesk API. Steps are: 1. Classify intent. 2. Retrieve top 5KB chunks. 3. Draft a response with a confidence score. 4. If confidence is low, tag and escalate. Infra-wise, minimal: 1 LLM endpoint, a retrieval endpoint, and the ticketing API with scoped credentials. You define 2 tools, kb.search and tickets.update, with JSON schemas and max rate per minute. Prompts live in a registry with semantic versions. Agents run in a stateless worker, and you log each step to your observability stack. Support agents see the draft and either approve or edit. Their edits feed back into the eval set.
Got it. A clean 4-step workflow with clear tools, clear exits, and a human in the loop. Now let's push it. What's a more advanced case where you really need the patterns?
A revenue ops agent that prepares a weekly account brief. It has to pull CRM data, join with product usage, fetch contract terms from a document store, summarize risks, and open follow-up tasks in Asana. Here you orchestrate multiple tools, query, warehouse.sql, docs.retrieve, llm.summarize, tasks.create. You add a planner that decomposes the request, runs parallel retrieval, and enforces budgets. Max 3 tool calls per account, 15 seconds total. You attach a vector store for doc snippets, version all tool schemas, and write to an append-only event log so you can reconstruct what happened. It runs nightly in batch, but if a tool fails, it retries with backoff, and if still failing, it emits a partial brief with a needs attention flag. Everything is auditable.
Mechanically, that's where the guide's patterns matter. Tool schemas keep the model's function calling grounded. No freeform strings for money movement, for example. The planner uses a plan act observe loop with a hard cap on steps, and context management trims memory. Retrieve top K, compress with a summarizer, and pin citations. Retries are type aware. If a tool returns a 429, back off. If validation fails, the agent repairs the arguments using the schema. For long briefs, they recommend chunk-wise synthesis with a final consolidate step to stay inside the context window. And every action emits structured traces, so your eval harness can score faithfulness and tool success post hoc.
Before we go to limitations, Jamie, for the folks implementing this next week, what should they actually monitor to know the agent is healthy?
Track a small actionable set. 1. Tool call success rate and first-time pass rate. 2. Per-step latency distributions and tail latencies. 3. Token usage and cost per request and per successful outcome. 4. Guardrail triggers, policy denials, argument validation failures. 5. Outcome quality on a small golden set scored daily. Could be LLM as judge plus a few human spot checks. 6. Escalation rate versus target. Wire alerts on sudden drift in any of those. Also enforce budgets with circuit breakers. If cost per outcome spikes or success rate drops below a threshold, auto fall back to a simpler path or pause.
Okay, that's the dashboard. Now let's pop the hood. Jamie, what assumptions and constraints are we signing up for? And what does the paper suggest as next steps for the ecosystem?
Assumptions. You have LLMs with reliable function calling in JSON mode, access to structured tools or APIs, and a place to run an orchestrator with logging. Latency and cost are traded for reliability. Agents add steps, you need budgets and caps. Constraints. Context windows still limit how much state you can stuff in, you need retrieval and compression. Failure modes include tool hallucination, partial plans, and stale knowledge. So align with schemas, use explicit stop, actions, and timestamp sources. Faithfulness is non-trivial. Attach citations and run post-hoc checks for unsupported claims. Future work. Standardized tool APIs so planners can be portable, better agent-oriented benchmarks beyond single-turn QA, and richer evals for multi-step behavior and adherence to policies.
So in plain terms, these agents work if you keep them on the rails, small steps, strict forms, and alerts when they drift. They're not free or instant. You pay with tokens and a bit of latency to gain reliability and traceability. Mark, on the organizational side, what needs to be in place so this isn't a heroic one-off?
3 things. First, roles and permissions. Product owns the workflow spec, platform owns the tool catalog and credentials, support or ops defines escalation rules. Lock tools behind least privilege, use environment scoped keys, and require approvals for any tool that writes. Second, documentation and lifecycle. Every agent has a README with purpose, inputs, tools, KPIs, and rollback steps. Prompts are versioned. Changes go through PRs with a small regression suite. Third, governance, a change board for high-impact actions, weekly eval reviews, and a kill switch per agent. Day 1 checklist. Clean your KB, dedupe, add metadata, strip PII, set up traces and a cost dashboard, run in shadow mode for a week, define fallbacks, simpler prompt, human review, or do nothing, and cap spend per day. That discipline turns the guide into something teams can actually run.
Jamie, let's wrap with results. What does the paper actually report? Benchmarks, metrics, and how these patterns stack up against simpler baselines?
It's positioned as a practical guide, so the evidence is mostly controlled case studies rather than new public leaderboards. They evaluate along a few axes: task completion rate end-to-end, tool call first-pass success, escalation rate, latency and cost per successful outcome, and faithfulness using citations plus small golden sets scored by an LLM as judge and spot human checks. Compared to two baselines, a naive chat-only agent and a hard-coded scripted pipeline, the pattern-driven agent tends to show higher completion and lower variance in outcomes than chat-only, and better adaptability than a scripted flow when tools fail or inputs are messy. Costs are more predictable because retries and context are budgeted, though median latency is slightly higher due to added steps and validations. Important caveat: these are controlled settings with clean tool contracts and curated datasets. So they're directional rather than universal.
So in practical terms, expect fewer manual handoffs, fewer weird failures, steadier spend, and a small speed tax because you're adding structure and checks. It's more reliable, not magic. Mark, in the real world, what should teams actually expect once this hits production?
Often a notch down from the controlled results. Real APIs throttle, knowledge bases are messy, and users write in all caps at 2 a.m. To close the gap, you need instrumentation from day one, schema validation on every tool call, traces tied to tickets, and a tiny golden set you run daily. Add back-off and circuit breakers, define clear escalation rules, and set budgets per request so cost per outcome doesn't drift. Run a week of shadow traffic, then A/B behind a feature flag. Most teams also need a prompt regression suite and a playbook for fallbacks when retrieval is empty or a tool is degraded.
And who benefits most from applying this guide, Mark? SMB teams, big enterprises, what's your read?
Fastest wins are for SMB and mid-market teams with clear workflows. Support triage, data extraction, simple ops, because they can adopt the patterns almost as is. Enterprises benefit a lot too, but only if they plug this into governance. Least privileged tools, audit logs, approval gates for write actions. Teams with existing observability and CI/CD get the most lift. Starting from zero, pick one narrow agent, keep tools to two or three, and ship with human in the loop first. Closing thought from the field. The guide shines where actions are templated, data is reasonably labeled, and someone owns the KPIs, then it compounds week over week.
Bottom line, this paper turns build an agent into ship a workflow you can monitor, budget, and govern. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArcSieve LLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.